Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for just getting to be here and hang out with you and other believers. God, this morning we're reminded of life and how it can change in the flash and the blink of an eye and the explosion of a fire. Father, we're also reminded when we think about someone who journeyed with us for decades here. Eugene Ross now knows more about eternity and time management and what it means to live in eternal existence than we can even begin to try to imagine in our own minds. And we pray for his family as they journey through the strange balance of loss and missing someone and yet celebration and remembering a life well lived and a legacy. And God, we pray your blessing upon them, that they would sense your presence and your comfort and your peace. God, we pray that we can also join with Jim and his family as we celebrate 9 decades of being here and journeying on this world, and then many, many decades of serving you in lots of different ways, from education to just caring, to providing, to being an example, to teaching. God, we just thank you for those lives. God, I pray that you'll be with the speaker this morning and his sins. Be with the words of my mouth and the meditations of our gathered hearts, that we could bring you honor and glory and praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Kind of a little warning. Sometimes when I take a week off, things build up. I got to spend some time back what we used to call home. And it's still home. You know, I was there for 17 years with those folks. I went to a wedding of 2 kids who I watched grow up and be part of our youth groups, and part of the bride was part of our girls group that met at our house. I got invited to the girls group because it was at our house, and I got to watch 2 kids, one of my own and one of the volunteers, and they had lots of fun over a period of 4 or 5 years as they met together, prayed together, ate together on a weekly basis. And that girl was one of the older set that only got to be with us a year or two in that group. But it was fun to be at that wedding and then to worship with those folks. But I ran into a couple of people that said, "Hey, been listening to your sermons online." I go, "Oh." So I'm going to do something now that I need to warn you. Is anybody here named Dilbert? Okay, because when I moved from Fairfield, where I was at for 12 years, I brought somebody with me in my mind named Dilbert Dombrowski, because I knew I wanted to talk about some folks back in Fairfield and use them as sermon illustrations. So I made up the person of Dilbert Dombrowski and his wife, Delina. So from now on, if I tell stories, and so I'm either going to have to, and they sometimes are sharp enough now that they're figuring out who Dilbert is. So I'm back to just using my wife and daughter as illustrations. So, I was so glad Jared unpacked for us what epiphany meant. And I mean, I kind of knew. For a long time, I just thought it was an excuse for my wife to leave her Christmas decorations up a few weeks longer. She's an elf. So, but today, it's the start of a new year. It's Epiphany, and it's my first Sunday with you. I missed last week in the new year, and I want to talk about new growth, maybe the chance for us to grow. While I was home, I visited our house. It's still our house. That's something you can pray about in this new year, that our house becomes somebody else's house, maybe the right people that God wants to use that house the way we got to use it all those years. But there at my house, in the little farm that I owned around it, I planted over 1,000 trees while I was there. In the last 2 years, because of just the right amount of rain and the rich soil of Iowa and the right amount of sunshine, all those things came together. My deciduous oak trees, and I have white oak, swamp oak, red oak, black oak, and any other kind of oak you want, because I like oak trees, because God did something special whenever he created anything, but he did a good job on oak trees. But my oak trees the last 2 years have grown normally the length of what some pine trees will grow and some maple trees will grow, like 2 or 3 feet of growth, where normally 4 to 6 inches is pretty big for a pine for an oak tree. But it was amazing. But you know, I've noticed something about trees, and I know I probably told you more. I do love trees, but
here's the thing. Dead trees don't grow. Only live trees. Dead churches don't grow. If you're not growing as a Christian, new growth. We need to grow. And we, you all go, yeah, amen. What does that look like? How do we do it? We think about growth the way teenage boys think about infatuation with girls. It sounds like a good idea. I've seen pictures. You know, this love thing is exciting. I have no idea how to do it or what it's about. Growth. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, said, "But grow in grace." As we think about this new year, Haviland Friends Church, as a church, but also as individuals, "but grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." But grow in grace. And then I threw in, Peter gets mentioned here in Matthew, in the garden. Jesus comes back from praying. He returned to his disciples, his followers, his buddies, his faithful 12, his inner three. Couldn't, and he found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" And who did he ask? Peter. And sometime later, Peter writes, "But grow in grace." But grow in grace. Growth, 99, I was going to say all, usually 99 of all growth involves change. This is the part you're not going to like. Some of you love change. You change your light bulbs when they don't even need it. You just love change that much. And there's another group of you, and there's a bunch in between, but there's another group of you that you don't want to change nothing. And that's just how God made some of us. But growth, you need to hear me on this, involves change. My trees, when they're growing, change. All right? When we're growing as a church, when we're growing as an individual, it changes. And we can blame all sorts of things, but we need to realize that there's, and our culture is, a lot of it, it's about change. You ask teenagers or tweeners, and I don't know when tweeners start, some probably 10 to 12, but you ask anybody, even that age, and you say, "Do you want to change anything about you?" "Oh, yeah." "What do you want to change?" And they've got a list of things. A lot of times it goes beyond A, B, and C. You know what that is, right? Acne, braces, and contacts. So... yeah. They'd like to get rid of some of that, or you know, they, but some of those, even these kids that are not even teenagers yet, they've got ideas about their body style, their image, their weight, their nose, their hair, their nose hair, all of those things. They've got a list. I don't like change. So I don't know if some of you notice I got a haircut. You can sign a hard and a miss. Local barber. I tell him what I want. He does what he wants. It's okay, it's a good relationship we have. I'll keep going to him. I support local businesses. But he's doing such a good job. And I sit down, I start to relax. I think I was falling asleep. All of a sudden, he trimmed my unibrow. I'm not happy. Some of you go, "I didn't know you had a unibrow." Yeah, I did. I'm proud of it. I was part of a club in high school. One is better than two. I was. She gave up on me right there. But what would you change? Just you get beyond appearance. What would you change? You got to change something about your career. Come back. Get over the unibrow thing. Come back. Some of you want to change how your marriage is working. Some of you were parented in a certain way. And some of you are newer parents or thinking about becoming parents. You want to change that system. Some of you got married to a guy 20 years ago and you're still trying to change him. That ship sailed, honey. It's a new year, but he isn't. What if said change would help us to grow and flourish? And that's probably what we need to get back to this morning. What if this change would have us to grow and flourish? But as followers of Christ, we think about this spiritual growth and we think about maybe what changes it, but we're not even certain. What does spiritual growth look like? And now we give it new names. My daughter is, she's here, she's a spiritual formation major. I have no idea what that is. I think it happens in dark caves where stalactites and mites are forming. Spiritual, what you need is some spiritual maturity. What is that? So you don't act like a Christian middle schooler anymore? What does that look like? You need some transcendental development. I'm making some of these up now. Mystical maturity, religious ripeness. You are ripe with the Lord. I don't know. So no matter what the wording, I want to say, the sad part is no matter how we look at it, it's we try it and we hastily abandoned it. Some of you have already put your Bibles away and it's only January 8th. You read them for a week. God bless you. And some of that we think, well, that's what spiritual growth is. We confuse spiritual disciplines with spiritual growth. They are related, but they are different. So point number one, spiritual growth, and there's all kinds of words up there, some of which actually are involved with what we were going to talk about. But every believer who's walked with the Lord for a period of time, every seasoned believer, they have heard talk, they've heard sermons, they've maybe attended seminars, they've read books, they've watched video series about spiritual growth and spiritual discipline. And they somehow decide that how I do it is I have to get more involved in church and more involved in churchy things and more involved in disciplines. And please hear me, I want you more involved in church. I want you more involved in spiritual disciplines. But those alone aren't standalone items. Those aren't spiritual growth. My trees grew because that's how God made them to be. All right? And they grew really great these last 2 years because of the rain was just right. The sun was just right. And the soil was fertile. Don't confuse spiritual disciplines with spiritual growth. Because otherwise we think the busier I can be with religious activities, with activities of the faith, then I must be growing, right? Did you read my sermon ahead of time? That the problem is that right, that little question when I said right, because they're not. The busier we are, the more we read our, and please, I want you to read your Bible. I want you to pray, but the more we do those things, if we think that is, it will help us to grow, but that's not growth. And if we make our goal to grow in the Spirit, you say, well, Todd, how does it work? What did Peter say? To grow in grace of Jesus and the knowledge of Him. The disciplines will help you with that. Prayer and fasting and listening and meditation and scripture reading and meeting together with other believers. Those will all help you develop your spiritual character. But what we want to do is we want to become more like Jesus. We want to imitate Him. We want to get to know His character. How do you know if you're going to grow this year? How will you, my trees are easy because you can see new growth. If you open your eyes and you ask God and say, God, help me to see if I'm growing and if I can encourage others to grow. You know you're growing when you are more gracious, when you're less angry with the person ahead of you in the checkout line, when you're more patient with the lady at McDonald's. Here's your food. No, it's not. That isn't even close to what I ordered. Do I look like I want a salad? Guess not. So we measure growth by, are we more gracious tomorrow or today than we were yesterday? Do we respond differently with our kids? And we're not perfect, but we're growing. So that's just a little bit. So then the second part of this is not really the how-to, but it's the maybe so, is time to grow. And at this time of year, we start to think about time. And we had somebody who went on to be in eternity that lived 93 years, Eugene. And we're celebrating today Jim's 90th birthday, 9 decades. This is a new year. Jesus comes to us and he says, welcome in. I've got stuff for you to do. And then we say, well, I went to sleep. This year, 2017, last year, by the way, in case you missed it, was 2016. In 2016, we had 12 months, 52 days, 52 weeks, 365 days, 8,760 hours, 525,600 minutes, 3,153,600 seconds. I did math. It was hard. That's all the time you have this year. That's it. How are you going to spend it? Apparently, the average person is not Jim Lanninger or Eugene Ross. The average person lives about 78 years, plus a little bit, not quite 79. That, in case you're wondering, is 28,500 days, 672,000 hours, 40.3 million minutes, a lifetime. Now, I know we can talk statistics all day, and we just might for another 5 minutes. I know we can do a lot of statistics. The average person spends 40 minutes a year, day, 40 minutes a day talking on the phone. Now, I think that's changed a little bit. So I started to try to figure out screen time. Screen time. The average adult, and I don't know what it is for tweeners and teeners and teenagers and all those, but the average adult spends between 10 and 11 hours a day in front of a screen. In case you want to know, that's about 300 million minutes or something like that in your lifetime if you live to be 78 years old. The average person, that 78-year-old, spends 40 minutes a day on the phone, 20 hours a month, 10 days a year, 2 years in your lifetime, you'll be on the phone. The average person spends 1 hour, this is kind of unpleasant, in the bathroom. Now, I don't know what you're doing in there. That's 30 hours a month. That's 15 days a year. That's 3 years in your lifetime. The average person spends three hours a day just watching television. Now, I'm a busy guy. I still, even though I don't have television at home right now, can find time to watch Kansas basketball. I can still find time to talk about some of you with about, you know, good, healthy topics like the Denver Broncos. I can find time to get to the coffee shop. Have you ever been too busy to pray? Have you ever been too busy to have your quiet time? Have you ever been, you have enough time to pray and get your words out, but have you been too busy to stop and listen to the Father? The average Christian, and I don't know how that looks in our world. I'm sure Haviland Friends Church is much different than Dilbert Dombrowski back in Grinnell, but the average Christian spends 10 minutes a day in prayer. 6 hours in a month, 3 days in a year, 7 months in an average lifetime. Yesterday, my wife was unpleased with some of the empty plastic containers that are in our house. I apparently have gotten rid of a lot of the stuff I hoarded, but I still like to hoard my tubs. She said, you need to get rid of those. And I said, I don't, but I could use them again. I mean, who cannot use big rubber, you know? They're great, aren't they? How many of you like those? Come to my house, I'll give you a couple because they're going. She said, you need to put those in the garage. I said, I can't put those in the garage because there's other stuff in my garage. So I spent 2 hours yesterday trying to make room for my plastic tubs in my garage because there's no room for the car. But I freed up 2 or 3 hours yesterday, and it was a busy Saturday for me. I had some other stuff I needed to do to organize kind of my garage. We can make room for stuff like that, but can we make room? It's sobering when we think that our Heavenly Father loves us so much that he invited us into a kind of relationship where he actually wants to communicate with us, that he wants to spend time with us, that he sent his son Jesus, and we just celebrated Christmas, and we're coming towards Easter, and we're in Epiphany. But we celebrate all of those things because he wanted a relationship with us to where we communicate with him, that we learn about him, and we talk to him, but we also take time to listen to him. Mastering the Art of Prayer, in the book Spiritual Leadership by Sanders, says, mastering the art of prayer, like any other art, will take time. The amount of time we allocate to it will be the true measure of our conception of its importance. We always find time for that which we deem important. In 2017, I think we can have an uncommon year of growth as a congregation, as individuals. It's just, how do we want to spend our time? Again, I know God wants us to grow, and I didn't paint a complete picture of how that looks for all of us because I don't know. I know Haviland Friends Church, God desires for it to grow. Well, how does that look? I think that's yet to be determined, but I know he wants us to grow. I know there's steps and there's disciplines of solitude and simplicity that Quakers talk about. And scripture reading and confession of our sins one to another and confession of where we could use help and where we could use prayer and where we could reach support. There's worship. Those are part and things that lead to this growth that we want to have happen. But today I would invite you to ask yourself some hard questions. Questions that I would ask Dilbert Dombrowski. Questions that I need to ask Pastor Todd. What are the things that I spend a lot of my time doing? What are the things that I spend a lot of my time doing? Is that what's important to me? Does talking and listening to God come anywhere even in the top 10 of things I spend my time doing? Who's the most important relationship in your life? And you all say Jesus. All right? Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, television, where is Jesus on that list? You say, wow, now you're meddling. Talk about your unibrow again. That was much more fun. I'm just saying, I think this year, God wants you to grow. This year, God wants me to grow. I think we're in it together as corporate body and as individuals. But it's going to take time. It's going to take commitment. It's going to take... One of the things we're supposed to do when we gather together is encourage one another. I think that might take some of that because some of you have tried reading your Bible before. I'm going to read my Bible through this year. And you got to January 7th and you put it back. He was so happy to see you for those 7 days. How can we do that? I don't have all the answers. I got a lot of questions, but I know that God wants us to grow in grace, in the knowledge of Jesus, that we become imitators of him, that our character begins to reflect more of his character. Let's pray. God, today I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that it is by his grace that I am saved, that we are saved. It's not of ourselves, lest anyone can boast. And really, it's that grace also that's active in our lives that causes us to grow and want to grow. God, there's things we can do and that we can encourage each other to do that will help that process. God, I pray that Haviland Friends Church could be about those things. And then as we grow, that we'll take that growth and we'll turn it on our other friends and community members and that we'll love them. And that we'll respond in grace. And that we'll walk in peace. And that we can comfort those. And we can come beside those that are lonely and be friends with them. We can find those who are lost. We can build up those who feel less and feel least and left out. That we can welcome them in because we're growing in grace. God, help us to grow this year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the ways you can encourage people is by smiling at them. So as you go today, and I think we might be almost out on time. Yep, we are. All right, so you don't have to rush off. Smile at some folks, shake some hands, hug some people. Don't violate anybody. Not everybody's a hugger. You know, give them a chance. They might come around, but hug some people, smile at some people, shake some hands. Have a great week.